Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I've got New Zealand-based producer Sanoi here to talk about his new project, Augenblick. And I've actually talked with Jonas before, but I'm excited to hear more about your project. Kia ora, Jonas. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Oh, so you were just telling me, but I suppose tell the audience, what does Augenblick mean?
So when it came to figuring out what to call my new album, it was going to be not serious because I don't take everything I do very serious. I'm very serious about how I do and what I do, but like, it's just music, you know? And so it was like two things, two German words, a serious one and a silly one. And the label thought it would be, or, you know, and my friends and people who like support me thought it would be good to do a little bit more serious title. So it's called Augenblick. And that is a word that only we have in German. That means the moment that's gone in the blink of an eye. Because I think because the tracks are so short, it's like 19 tracks. The album comes in under 1 hour, and we only put out half of their first at 12 anyway, so it's a lot of stuff.
And this was
actually,
this album was presented by Loop Electronics?
It's, yes, it is released via Loop Electronic, new offshoot of Loop, the label, the agency, and they've been signing so many like electronic artists lately, and they just wanted to, I think, separate that from, which is a good thing, from all the other stuff that's going on. So it's very exciting to be on starting with such an amazing bunch of talented artists and incredibly passionate label people.
Cool. And when you say you're just releasing side A, that's going to be coming out available for download on December 5th. And when are we going to see side B?
Yeah, December. Exactly. So that is out already. You can listen to it anywhere you want on your, if you use streaming, or you can go on SoundCloud and listen to it there, or pretty sure it's on YouTube too. And that is the first 9 tracks, I think. And I don't know when the other one is coming out. I think maybe in February, beginning of February is when second part of all the side B's coming out.
And talk us through, obviously you have such a sort of genre diverse discography. Where does Augenblick fall in that?
It definitely feels like, if anyone of your listeners knows my music, that feels like the continuation of like the album that came before, which was just made while just before I had my son. And so I was like, I'm gonna make some deep stuff, of course, you know. trying to do something like that. And this new music is even more a step away from the dance floor, and just more, I want to make music that inspires myself, you know. It doesn't need this necessarily into a DJable format or form or something. And that was very freeing, but it took a long time to get there. Also, because I had a child, so there was 2 years of not writing much music. But yeah, and this is like,
we talked about this a bit last time, but how's your child going?
He's almost a three-nager.
Oh, so my goodness.
Yep.
How is he? Is he interested in the music yet? I suppose he'll just be talking and stuff, and he'll be starting to see that. Is he taking any interest?
He actually loves it a lot. He comes to the studio. I work from home sometimes, and he always wants to come and says, "Papa, I want to be in the studio." And then he loves to just, you know, tap on the MIDI controllers and make sounds and noises, and puts in the headphones and sings, and he's very much into it. So.
Oh, a little collaborative album coming up next, maybe.
Oh, yeah, already told all my friends. Oh, he's my new ghostwriter. I just figured out, by the way, when the second part of the album is coming out. So, Augenblick Side B with 10 more tracks It's coming out on the 20th of February, and I think how I, I have the runtime and stuff. Each side feels like a cohesive journey, so that makes a whole bunch of sense to listen to them separate, but then also together. And I'm very excited to see what everybody thinks, as it is like relaxed listening music.
Oh, lovely. We like that. We like that. Especially as it comes into summer and everyone's chilling out. Great soundtrack for that. Last time I talked to you, we were sort of discussing releasing stuff a bit more analog. And I know you're releasing this album on cassette.
Yes, this is true. I did do a pre-launch, for just the hardcore collectors of my creative output, and we made 100 tapes on cassette, and pretty sure there's only a couple left. If anyone's still interested and cannot wait to hear part B, you can pick it up on cassette tape now on Bandcamp, my Bandcamp, Sonoy and listen to the whole thing, and it sounds very nice and warm and analog and crunchy, and I love that. This is, I think, even cooler than a vinyl for me, but just because I'm a big nerd.
No, I love that too, and I think I've got when I'm in my car, and it's my back windows don't work, but there's a cassette player there, and that's where it's always lovely for that to be able to get good music on cassette.
Yeah, I remember I had like a Rover. I was living in Hamilton, and it didn't have a cassette player. It didn't have, it had a drop top and a cassette player, and so it would start making like mixtapes again, and that was took me back to when I was a young man. It was really cool.
And you talk about your inspiration for this album and the sort of the mid-90s warp atmospheric stuff like Boards of Canada and Aphex Twin, and then sort of Brain Feeder and the Low End Theory. How did you was what was the sort of journey for creation of this album? Was it all coming from that sort of experience of fatherhood? What were you listening to during that time?
I don't listen to that much music, to be honest. It is always, I find that if I listen too much music, or I like something too much, and I listen to, let's say, like an album or something a lot, and to try to make music like that. And that always annoys me, because I'm always like trying to get it to sound more like that and more like that, and get bogged down in technical stuff. So I listen to just podcasts, stuff like that, audiobooks, to stay inspired. So the process was basically, I have this, a certain amount of time dedicated in my week or in my day or energy left to make beats, and then it's like, okay, don't worry about structure, just find a vibe or an idea and just pour a lot of stuff against against the wall and see what sticks, and then in another session peel all of it back off and only keep the good bits, and then try to put that into like 2 minute story.
Yeah, so when you say that a lot of these songs are around the 1 minute, 2 minute mark, is that naturally where the songs were ending for you, or was that a lot of editing and a lot of sort of refinement that ended up with those sort of shorter songs?
That's a good question. I think I had it. So what I tried to do was, like, I've been making music for, seriously for like 6 years or something, and so you tend to figure out like technical moves you always do. You can rely on that work, for example, when it comes to building tension at release or making a track of 7 minutes long that doesn't get boring, and all these like things you then learn to do to make a track flow. I had to tell myself, don't do these because you don't want to make music for the dance floor. Now you just want to make it for yourself. And so once I figured out how to not do these kind of things, I just flowed from the beginning of the track and was like, and listen over and over and be like, yeah, it's done. No more to say here.
What an incredible, I feel like that's quite rare. There's not many musicians who you talk to who have that sort of sense of completion when it's done, and just knowing that it must be quite wonderful after being in, as you said, such a in the DJ space where there's a lot of sort of things continuing for a long time and drawing out the song as far as you can.
Yeah, it was a very good, you know, the mindset's like set yourself the mindset first, and then you go into it, and then it becomes free, and then you just become more free, and you're like, oh wow, I to just make music. Where it goes in the end, this is not right now like the problem. And then you become free, and I think also it makes you a better musician because you allow yourself to do other things, because you say, you know, you don't say, oh, I need to work within this 16-bar, 32-bar preset parameters, because that's how dance music works. And of course, that is still somewhat in there, because humans need pattern recognition when we listen to music, and that gives us that like confidence to like let go and like let us take somewhere with the music, because deep down we know, we recognize the patterns and we anticipate what's coming up. And yeah, not to do these kind of things and just to like let go was very freeing. And one more thing, I think the response from people is also, a lot of people are like, wow, these tracks is such a nice album. I wish it was longer. And that just shows me that the ideas are all great, and that the real listenability of something is there if people say, I want more of this. And then you just play it again. You turn the, you know, tape, cassette tape around and play again.
Yeah, what a good position to be in, not doing too much but leaving people with wanting more. And when you talk about the reception, I just think for my final question, obviously with all these sort of steps you're making, oh, actually, I have two. If you wanted to get into the sort of nerdy and nitty-gritty, I'm absolutely here to listen, and I love talking about that stuff. When you're moving from that sort of DJ-based sound to what you're doing here on Organblick, did it give you a chance to use any sort of new techniques or perhaps any new equipment that you don't get? Because you have your studio at home, so did it give you a chance to sort of dust off some things that you hadn't been using so much when you were doing the sort of dancier, housier DJ stuff?
Not really. I think the process was more of doing I have not done much with equipment at the moment. You know how it, I mean, I don't know if you know how it is, but a lot of people who buy a lot of equipment know how it is. You end up buying it, and then you look at it, and then you do one project, and you're like, that was awesome. I'm never going to touch that again for at least a year. And so there was a lot of using recordings I've made on my phone, or just diving deep into found sounds and just looking for, it's like collage, when you do like a visual collage where you take bits and pieces from here and have not mixed my own paints for this, you know, for this piece. I've literally just cut out stuff from magazines and whatever I could find, if that analogy makes sense.
It
and
makes
I feel
perfect sense.
That's how I see sampling, you know, like I feel like there's to everything, it's like every piece of music making, there is certain things where you say, is that really important? Is that going to make the song better if I go and record every little sound myself and synthesize that, or has someone already made that color or texture or whatever I need, and it will fit basically there to add to the song what it needs in that moment. So if it is, you know, percussion layers or whatever sort of sounds, I feel like I'm not that married to the idea that you have to make everything yourself. That's just not how, I mean, you know, if you make electronic music, use all the bits you can. Whatever you need to make to create music that expresses what you want to say.
I love the way you talk about music and the way you talk about production, and just sort of, it's your ethos around it and the really creative way that you view things. I think it comes through in the music that you make. And for my final question for you, I was just, because you're talking about the reception a lot, the big change in the style of music, what do you want people to take away from Organ Blick when they listen to it? What would you like the listeners to leave with?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is more like a rediscovery of having fun and not being burned out with music and all this kind of stuff, and just really getting back to just writing music and having fun and enjoying the process. And whatever you feel when you listen to my music, I think that is your experience and this is your relationship you have with my music. And I find this every time I put something out. It is not my piece of music. I made it, but whatever, you know, whatever it does with you, that then becomes your track and your connection with it. So,
oh, well, cool. Jonas, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me tonight. It's been so lovely. I hope your kid's wonderful. I'm excited for the release of Side B. I've been talking to people around
this. Yeah, if you cannot wait.
Yeah?
Get it on Bandcamp on cassette.
Yes, perfect. I'm just, at the moment, we're talking over and I'm going to fade in a lovely song of yours, which is Together, and it's the Paige Julia remix. And then I'm going to play Inner Space, the opening track off Organ Blick Side A. So stick around for that.
Ooh, cinematic.
So it's 10 minutes to 5. You're all listening to Radio 1. Thank you so much.
Steve's, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.